Accession number 18445, Reel 1.
Fred Dale, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Born in Chelsea, Locks Road, Chelsea.
Which year was this?
That was 1919.
Did you grow up in Chelsea?
I grew up in Chelsea, went to school in Chelsea, left Chelsea, well, to move to Fulham when I came out of the army, and then I moved down here in 1963, I think it was.
Were you living in Chelsea or Fulham when war was declared?
I was living in Chelsea then.
Had you joined the TA before the war?
No.
When you did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes, I'd already signed on as in 1939. Registered in 1939. I did hear that, and I went just after. Well, I went into the training regiment in 19. I think it was just after Christmas, 1940.
So, were you in any bombing of London by the German Air Force?
No, to be honest. The first warning went when war was declared. I was living in Uvedale Road at the time. And we heard that, but I didn't hear no more because I went more or less straight into the army a few days later.
When did you actually join the army then?
I joined the army in January.
1940. As a volunteer or a militiaman?
No, I was ready. I actually signed on for 6 months training, conscription. But I got called up at beginning of January 1940.
Where did you do your basic training?
I done my basic training at Warminster.
What was that like?
57th Heavy Training Regiment, RTR.
What was it like at Warminster?
A new barracks, and in fact it was very, very, very good quarters.
How were you treated on the basic training? How were you treated on the basic training?
Very, very good. We had a very good sergeant that met us at the Warminster station, and also Corporal Norton, which was a lance sergeant in the end, and they were very, very good. And we had the training was excellent. We'd done a lot of sport, like everything else. I used to play football quite a lot. And while I was in the training regiment, and also won the lightweight boxing competition in the regiment, so I was quite happy there.
So this was the Royal Armoured Corps, was it?
This was the Royal Armoured Corps, 57th Heavy Training Regiment.
Where did you go to next?
From there, when we passed our training test, the squad test, I went to Fordingbridge with the regiment. Met the regiment then.
Which regiment was this?
The 3rd Royal Tank Regiment. And I went straight into A Squadron, and I stayed there ever since.
What kind of reception did you get from the 3rd Royal Tank Regiment?
Oh, quite. They were a very good bunch of lads. We was welcomed as reinforcements, and we were very, very happy with them. And I never regretted the going to the 3rd Royal Tank Regiment.
What kind of equipment did they have at that time?
At that time, they had no equipment. They lost it all in France. But then we had the A-13s, Mark II's, I think, was all the limbs, I forgot now. But we had those when we went out to the Middle East, We moved from Fordingbridge, and I think it was to Hitchin. And from there we went to Newmarket. And then from there we went to the Forest of Dean, where we got embarkation orders again. That was in, I think it was September when we first knew we were going abroad to Egypt. And by the time we packed up and had embarkation leave, etc., I was left as rear guard while the others went. And we packed, got everything packed up. I went back, went on leave, and the tanks went on to Liverpool by freighter. And when I came back, I know I had inoculation fever while I was on leave. But I did was okay by the time I came back, and then we went to Liverpool ourselves, and we embarked on the Stirling Castle, the line of South African line of Stirling Castle. They were also taking off, they took the civilians off us so that we could go, because they were urgently needed apparently.
What was the voyage like?
Well, very good actually. We landed, we didn't land, but we pulled in at Freetown, which was then, and we had no scares or anything like that. We had pretty good escort all the way through, right the way through to the Suez. And then we disembarked on barges, and then went to, I think it was called Sidi Bish, desert camp. And we stayed there to acclimatise, got our tanks back. And the next thing we knew, we was moved up the desert to Sidi Barani. And while we was there, which we couldn't understand why, but we was told to hand our tanks over to the 5th Military Regiment. And it didn't make sense to us because they had the old A-10s, 9s, which was obsolete, really, in comparison to what we had. So there was no explanation why we handed them over. And then they moved us back with those to a tented camp just outside Alexandra. And when we got to Alex, by the time we got there, my tank wanted a new engine. I was a gunner on that tank. And we had to, the crew had to help with the engineers on the dockside to put a new engine in. And the rest of the crews and that were boarded on the, I think it was three cruisers, Bonaventure, and then I think there's another one. I've got the name here, I can't remember the actual names. Three cruisers. But at the time we finished the next morning, because there was plenty of mosquitoes being on the dockside, and I know, remember my eyes were closed by the time morning came.
From bites?
From bites, mosquito bites. So they took, led me up gangplank on the freighter, so we went for the tank. And by the time we landed at Piraeus, it was all, you were perfectly okay.
Which month is this, do you think?
This would be
was it before or after Christmas?
I think, oh, it's before, but no, it was after Christmas. I can't remember now.
Sounds like early 1941 then.
Yes, it was early 41.
So this was the whole...
We landed at Piraeus.
The whole of your regiment?
Yes, yes. And that was the whole brigade, actually, which was the 4th Hussars, the...
Doesn't matter, it'll be on record, don't worry about that.
And... then we moved to from Piraeus, which was, we were well received there. Garland and Krauts. And then we moved to a camp just outside Paris. The the Glen of Daphnes. And we stayed there cleaning tanks, guns, ammunition. And I remember one particular instance, we went into Paris that evening. We was allowed out into Paris. Now, it was a very strange thing. I've heard people say you have doubles. There must be doubles in this world. Well, we met a young Greek fella who spoke perfect English, and there were six of us. And we went into a restaurant and bar, and we were all sitting at the table and enjoying ourselves, chatting away. And a party came in and sat next to the table next to us. Now, it was a very strange thing happened. I looked over at the stage, and as I looked over, there were two women in the party, and one looked straight at me, and she was the replica of the girlfriend. Absolutely hairstyle, the lot. Apparently, they must have remarked to the little chap who was our interpreter, and I said, well, what's what they're saying? So he turned around and said that, why is the man looking at us? The army man looking at us. So he said, well, you're not going to believe this, he said, but you are a replica of his girlfriend. And I took the photograph out of my pocket and showed them, and they couldn't believe it. It was absolutely dead on. You wouldn't believe it if you'd seen it. And so we had a good evening, you can imagine. Well, the next morning we was told to pack up, get ready to move out, as we got warnings too that the wind was blowing. So we all changed into battle dress. But when we got to the station, to the railway, there was no change to chain our tanks up, because now we're going up into the mountain. So we had to bolt sleepers and wood planks onto the bottom of the platforms to hold the tanks steady. We had no carriages for the troops. We all had to make our bivvy behind the tank and sleep there. And it was very, very precarious, believe me. We had two engines, one front, one back. And I'd never seen a sight like it. It was absolutely fantastic. One side of you would drop dead straight down, the mountain. And that the actual scenery, you would pay thousands of pounds to see it. As us being young fellas, we'd never seen nothing like that. And it was absolutely fantastic. Well, we eventually, it was very scary because the blizzards started to blow it in. And the tanks obviously were moving with the ice. But we did get to our destination, which was Florina. When we got there, it was a dirty place. I remember it was muddy, holes in the place, dirty restaurant. But we moved out, carried on to a place called Amnation, or something of that effect. I think it was Amnation, something like that. Well, we stayed there for some time and waiting for anything to happen. The infantry brigade we had with us was up on the crossroads, and we were standing by on the crossroads itself, but not doing a lot, playing sport mostly, just until we got orders to move. And then, of course, they invaded then. So we moved up to the Monastir Gap. We had the, I think it was the Rifle Brigade entrenched with us. The New Zealanders was on the other side of the valley. We were bombed, machine gunned. In fact, some of these bombers was below us as they came through the valleys. Eventually we had to pull out now. Well, B Squadron, as you can imagine, we had been told about the spares for the tanks, which was very old tanks. And they were going to send the spares to us. But when they did turn up, they were all spares for the A-13s. So they couldn't be used, not on the A-10s. So you can imagine we lost quite a few tanks on default. But the drivers aboard it up told us that the ammunition ship had blown up in Piraeus Harbour. This was just after we left. And I think I forgot the actual name, I've got it here. But,
name of what?
The ship.
No, don't worry about that. That'll be on record anyway.
And then from there we...
Were you in B Squadron or A Squadron?
A Squadron. I've been in A Squadron when I joined, and more or less when I left. Then we... B Squadron had to go off. There was talk about the Germans trying to cut us off. B Squadron went out there and I lost most there. A lot of the squadron through default and well. And then we pulled back and we went to, there was, I think there was about 6 to 8 tanks of us left. We'd done a little action when HQ was being attacked, and they called everybody up then for everybody that could stand.
Being attacked by infantry or tanks?
Tanks and infantry. Anyway, that was a repulse. We was okay then. Then we moved. We had to go to the valley. I forgot the name of the actual place was, but we was to stop the Germans from the armoured vehicles coming through this valley. There was only 6 tanks of us left at that time. One of them we had to tow up to the top of the hill to hold down. And when they did come down, my job, and the first thing I was a gunner then, was to take the first part of the convoy out and so on right the way down the line till it was blocked. Well, I took the first 2 motorised infantry trucks out, full of infantry, and also the carrier. Then I think they would really stop them because they had them all right down in front of us. Then we had to evacuate, so we took all, we were no good bringing the tanks out, we'd fired all our ammunition. And I remember taking all the breech blocks out and then firing the tanks. And our officer was... Upgott Gill, our officer, Captain Upgott Gill, he stayed with us. And we had to make our own way back. Right back to Athens.
How did you travel?
Well, we walked for the first long while. 2 or 3 days we walked. And till we got to a valley where the Greek infantry brigade must have been caught in a bombing, because there were trucks, coaches, and they were just sitting there, you know, and concussion must have killed them more than anything. So what we done, because a lot of the drivers were mechanics as well, that was their training. And they got a vehicle going, because there were plenty of vehicles knocking them out. And they sucked the tanks from the other one for petrol. And we eventually got to Larissa. When we got to Larissa, we came across to an AFI depot. And the MPs were just going to blow it. And they let us go in and help ourselves to what we want, because we didn't have nothing there, only the hardtack. And then we made our way back through Daphne's. And the unit, we was bombed and machine gunned all the way through, all the way down. But fortunately, none of us was hit. Most of the roads were dug out, well, trenches by the side of them. And they had these trucks underneath the road, you know, for the thing. So we were able to bail out. And, then we got back to Daphne's. We were bombed a machine gun there, because there was a type of airdrome there. And they left the guide, because the regiment had gone. And we had to go back. Oh no, I beg your pardon. We had to go up as a machine gun post by the King Palace. And my troop, actually. And when we got there, we set up the Abiza machine gun, no mounting or anything, just on an ammunition box, which if it had fired, you can never control it. Anyway, we stayed there for the day, until a brigadier came through. And he said, whatever happens, there's no more British behind me. So he said, if anybody that hasn't got a proper pass, he said, shoot them, they're 5th Columnists. But it didn't have to arise anyway, because there was one incident, one of our chaps got wounded. That must have been by a 5th Columnist, I don't know, and we never did find out, because we got orders to move back that same night. So we came back to the Daphne's, and the regiment had now evacuated, and they left us a guide and a vehicle, and we got to just over the current canal when the German parachutes were landing the other side, because the New Zealand infantry was on the other side. So we went through them, and a lot of them was coming up, and you know, to reinforce their own battalions. But we got back to Port of Argos, and of course we're just like Dunkirk again. There was thousands and thousands, well, millions of pounds of equipment all over the place being fired on, and damaged and bombing up there. And I know I carried a visa, that particular visa, through to Argus, the port of Argus. Just before we got there, an officer said, asked me what happened to the machine gun. I said, well, it was no good. You couldn't fire it around a mountain. I said, I threw it over the edge. There was millions of pounds of equipment. Anyway, I went out to go and pick it up. Again, a long story short, I went and picked it up with another chap.
You had to go and retrieve the machine gun?
Yeah. When we got to the jetty, we were going on to the ACAC cruise at Grimsby. And I know when I got on the motorboat that was taking us out with the machine gun, the visa, when I got to the side of it, and of course the boat was going up and down, and I handed it up to the Matlow that was, you know, helping us up. And I handed the machine gun, and they looked at it, and that went straight in the drink. They had no room for things. I'm not going to say what I caught after I carried it on the way. Anyway, we got on the ACAC the Grimsby.
And what was the name of the ACAC cruiser?
Grimsby. And I'm sure it was the Grimsby. Then we got through to Crete. When we was taken ashore in Crete in boats, we went to the olive groves where we was all given rifles and bayonets. Fortunately, being a gunner, I got Vickers machine gun. We was under the olive groves then. Well, as it happened, the order came through to all the Vickers machine guns had to go to the New Zealanders, which were defending the airport, Helicon, I think it was called. And the German parachutes were coming down then. But fortunate for us, they were so short of tank crews and that in the desert, that we got orders to move out. So we went back to the Port of Argos. There was an old troop, tramp ship was.
You went back to Greece?
No, we went back to
Suda Bay?
Suda Bay. Got back into Suda Bay, and there was an old tramp steamer we got on. We nicknamed it the Popeye. Well, we was on the Popeye for what was left of the regiment, which was only about 250 of us, I think. A lot of them was captured on the beaches, and a lot got away afterwards. But we were 3 days. Remember one night I was on stack guard, and we were 3 days out of Suda Bay. We could still see left. Still see Suda Bay. And of course, when I looked up into the cabin, into the wheelhouse, they were all asleep. And the wheel was going round on its own. So I went down and worked the officer and told him about it. Anyway, they got hold of the old crew, and we had to crew ourselves. We had to go into the stoke hole. So many of us each period. Sifted for coal, and most of it was dust by the time we finished. We burnt some of the doors, woodwork. And then eventually, all of a sudden, somebody looked out and see a ship coming towards us. And of course, naturally, we thought it was the Italians. It was a destroyer. No, it was a cruiser, sorry, big pun, it was a cruiser. But as it happened, it was the Grimsby. That brought us out from thing. And he had a bomb, apparently, down the funnel, because he sent a boarding party over and asked us if we wanted anything and, food or anything. And they said, no, we're managed on our own. We used to have one cup of tea a day and one cup of water. And it was half a tin of bully and a packet of biscuits. That was our ration. Anyway, after he said, we'll escort you to Alex. Well, he was with us 24 hours. He said, well, I'm sorry. He said, you're even too slow for us, and we've got to move on. So he said, but we'll inform Alex that you're on your way. Well, when we eventually we got to Alex, and when we got into Alex, we had a wonderful reception. All the hooters was going on the freighters or on the battleships. And when we eventually landed, we all had to sign the declaration we were British. And they gave us, £2 in drink.